The message that I have for you this evening, and this will be the last in this particular series, is that the idea that one race or one person is different from another is gone. And yeah. Racism cannot survive, and I made up the term graceism. Because, you see, now we are all members one of another. Now we are all complete in Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ is not segregated by coloration, ethnicity, or anything else. Note, in Ephesians chapter 1, we read in the 9th verse, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So when the final dispensation, the dispensation of the fullness of times, is ushered in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, all saved people are one together in him. Can you make a case that there was a time when God had favored nation status? Haven't you heard about that? The United States has some nations that it says are not people that we are acceptable, the governments that are not acceptable to us, but there are some who have favored nation status. Well, it would be fair to say that Jehovah God had favored nation status, and that dealing with that nation, Israel. God now, in the dispensation of the grace of God, is not a respecter of persons. Notice it in Titus, in chapter 2, in verse 11. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. A-double-L, all. Not a laundry detergent, but the fact that it's available to everyone without distinction, which is quite different from Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, when the 12 went sent forth by Jesus, and he commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, you and I, as mid-Acts Pauline dispensational right dividers of God's perfectly preserved words in our King James Bible, know the difference between Titus chapter 2, verse 11, and Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. And we know that that differentiation involves the fact that now God is not a respecter of persons when he had been in Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. No question about that. Extrapolate from that. Go from there to this, that the point of teaching Shem, Ham, and Japheth and nationalism and national proclivities won't survive Titus chapter 2, verse 11 either.
Amen.
So if the person who teaches the racial prophecy of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Ham, he's the head of all black people, and they have limits on them, and Japheth, he's the head of all white people, they pretty much get to run things, and Shem, he's the head of all yellow people, and they are the religious bunch. I don't believe that for a minute, and you've heard me deal with that in previous messages, but if you buy it, and if you're one that teaches it, okay, I'm sorry you did that, but how dare you drag it forward into the dispensation of the grace of God. I think only a person who has a racist orientation would do that.
Right.
I don't think that, I don't mean to call anybody a racist, and they don't run around using the N-word, and they don't say a bunch of nasty jokes and stuff, but there is a mindset, if you don't mind my saying directly, there is a mindset among certain people that blacks just aren't very smart, and blacks, they're very physical, and that mindset, and you know, let's not pretend like it's not there, it's there. As a matter of fact, didn't we see Jimmy the Greek? Didn't we see other people say some of those very things? You know why they say it? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's Amen. Why they say it. It's in there. And so we need to, as mid-Acts Pauline dispensational members of the Church, the Body of Christ, recognize how that got in there and deal with it. And even if it's there, even if you or someone you know or someone in your family has been raised to be racial in your thinking. And old black folks, white people can't jump, and black folks, they like watermelon and basketball, if you've got all that in you. And I hope you don't. But if you do, and this is a hypothetical thing that I'm saying, if you do, leave it at the cross. Because in the dispensation of the grace of God, that's done. There's no place for that any longer. Notice, in Romans chapter 2, verse 11, there is no respect of persons with God. Well, there jolly well had been. No question that there had been. But now, that's gone. Notice, in Romans chapter 2, no respect of persons. Peter didn't know that. That's why Cornelius had to talk in tongues so Peter could figure out that a Gentile could be part of the little flock, that a Gentile could get the Holy Ghost. Peter didn't know it. And you know, tongues are for a sign, and signs are for unbelieving Israel. In Acts chapter 10, who is unbelieving Israel? It's not Cornelius. Cornelius is not Israel. So the sign gift that Cornelius exhibited was for Peter's benefit, because Peter didn't know that there's no respect of persons with God any longer. There always had been. And of course, the sheet let down three times in Acts chapter 10 was all about that, was it not? About don't call unclean what I've made clean. And Peter went away doubting. Peter didn't get it. And so Cornelius talks in tongues. And aha, now Peter has an understanding that there is no respect of persons. Things had changed. Changed dramatically. In John chapter 4 and verse 22, salvation is of the Jews. Well, of course, Shem, Ham, Japheth would say, well, they're all Shemites, and the yellow people, the Asiatic people, the people of the Orient, they are the religious people. And I played for you Pastor Jordan saying exactly that in the Great School of the Bible. That dog won't hunt. That dog couldn't hunt in a zoo. And here's why. All of the Asiatic religions are wrong.
Amen.
There's not a one of them that is anything other than pagan idolatry. The fact that you've got one that's right, and it happens to be associated with the Shemite, the Jewish people, so ever what? God instituted that, not yellow people.
Amen.
Whoa! And so the idea that, oh, because they're yellow, they're more spiritual, they're more religious, that is racism. Now, that person that said that, he may not be blatant. He may not be somebody who even would, if you called him a racist, he would tell you some of his best friends are yellow people. Some of his best, you know, you get all of the protestations because of the politically correct pressure and all of that. But what I'm trying to say to you is, somebody that carries that baggage is, in fact, carrying baggage. And the truth of the matter is, there is no respect of persons with God. In John chapter 4, verse 22, salvation was of the Jews, no question about that. And the Lord Jesus, in Matthew chapter 20, in Matthew chapter 15, in verse 24, says to the lady that, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said that to a woman he hadn't even spoken to, and was, you might say, rude to, because he wasn't sent to her. And she took that position and respected that. There's been a change. Now, again, I understand that we are all raised up, and in our upbringing, there may be certain things that are said, certain things that are done, that cause a person coming up to have some wrong views and some prejudicial thinking. Okay, it's a real world. There are probably some black folks who can't stand and don't trust white folks, unquestionably, and it's been demonstrated with lynch mobs and everything else. There have been white folks who don't trust and have no concourse at all with black folks. There are yellow folks that don't like either of them. And so that's there. There's no question about that. I can remember as a little boy being taught some things by some of my relatives that were purely racist and purely derogatory. I can remember who said them, and I can remember when they were said. And frankly, I didn't buy into them then. And had I, however, bought into them, they can't survive salvation in the dispensation of the grace of God, because there's only two flavors of people on planet Earth today, saved and lost. That's all you've got going for you. And the concept that some people are better at something than another, I'll take that on an individual basis. There's many things Carol does much better than I, and there's some things I do better than she. She probably won't admit that, but having been married 45 years. But my point is, it's not a racial thing. Now, people are different. I don't see that as a big problem. We all different parts of the body. Paul likens the body of Christ to such mundane things as feet and fingers and ears and mouth and that sort of business. And so some of us are more mundane and others are more flashy, I suppose. But we're all, it's not about us. It's about Him. It's about the body of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Now, if you remember the teachings on Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the teachings on Shem, Ham, and Japheth were aimed at demonstrating, and I didn't buy it and didn't believe it, but they're aimed at demonstrating that there are certain things, certain job qualifications, which are given to the supposed three races that came from Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And here's the problem with that. In the dispensation of the grace of God, it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. So one person being assigned this set of works according to racial prophecy, and another person being assigned this set of works according to racial prophecy, is again a dog that won't hunt. It won't pass muster in the dispensation of the grace of God. Now it's important to recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ taught a performance program because He came not but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And when a young man came to Him in Matthew chapter 19 and asked, "What good thing shall I do to have eternal life?" Christ said back to him, "Keep the commandments." Well, the fellow said, "Which?" And Jesus begins ticking them off one after another. "Thou shalt do no murder, commit no adultery," and on and on and on. The young man said unto Him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" Jesus does not say, "You lack faith in my death, burial, and resurrection," because faith was not the issue on the table yet, and the death, burial, and resurrection hadn't happened yet. So as we come down through Matthew chapter 19, Jesus says, "If thou wilt be perfect," in verse 21, "go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." So the idea of performance is something that was in place with the Lord Jesus Christ and Israel and people who were headed for the kingdom. Now the reason that is important in the racial prophecy context is this. Racial prophecy says, Shem, he performs this way. Japheth, he has this that he performs. Ham, he has this that he's good at. It doesn't matter now. You can be a miserable flop at everything, or you can be quintessentially marvelous at everything. Neither status matters. All that matters now is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and your faith in His finished work. So, now that salvation is entirely through faith without works, what place then would there be for racial prophecy, which is, number one, nationally oriented, and there is no nation, Israel, today, and number two, is works oriented, and there are no works today? It won't pass muster. Now, I have already, I believe, effectively undermine the teaching of Shem, Ham, and Japheth and shown you its error in previous lessons. And I've demonstrated to you why that is wrong-headed Bible teaching on many levels. What I'm attempting to do this evening is I'm attempting to demonstrate that when someone buys into Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and it may be a product of their culture, it may be a product of their upbringing, they may be ignorant or just don't know any better. I understand that's out there. Okay. Teach it out of them by teaching them the rightness of grace. One of the ways to get rid of some of these problems is to demonstrate that which is right. And when somebody wakes up one day and says, "Whoa, I see that God's no more a respecter of persons, why am I? And it's not by works, why am I evaluating people based on works?" Then, by teaching the grace message, you undermine the racist teaching which is out there. I'm in now Romans chapter 3 in verse 25, where God has set forth Christ to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Now, Pastor Jordan, in the Grace School of the Bible, made the point that when Shem's doing what he's supposed to do and that spiritual religious stuff, and when Japheth is doing what he's supposed to do, and that's organizing and running things, and when Ham's doing what he's supposed to do, and that's making things and being an engineer, then you've got everybody working so that then everything operates correctly. Well, how can you expect that to operate as a member of the church, the body of Christ, when it holds some people with different opportunities and different limitations? That's not the grace message at all. And so it just doesn't translate, it doesn't compute, it doesn't work. Unless, of course, you want it to. And I'm going to say that one of the hardest things you'll ever do in life is figure out why somebody does something. It's not hard to figure out what they did. It's not hard to evaluate the rightness or the wrongness of what they did. What's hard to figure out is motive. Why? Why do people who understand God's no respecter of persons, who understand we're complete in Christ, who understand we're all members one of another, who understand we're all seated judicially in heavenly places, who understand all of this, and I'm going to say to you, I believe Pastor Jordan knows every one of those things that are Pauline truths, why yet and still carry forward with racial prophetic teachings which don't pass muster? What would be the motive? I can think of two for Pastor Jordan. One, he's from Alabama, and that's what he was taught when he went to Pastor Ruckman's school. Dr. Ruckman teaches Genesis 9 exactly as does Pastor Jordan. As a matter of fact, Pastor Jordan even tells some of Dr. Ruckman's jokes as he's teaching in Grace School of the Bible. So it wasn't original thinking. Maybe he needs to rethink it. Maybe he needs to go back to the well. And that's what I tried to say to him so he could save face. So he could say, well, I just repeated a lot of things that I've been taught. I hadn't rethought it, but I rethought about it, and I see that racism does not survive racism. But he did not rise to that, and I tried to give him opportunity. But I'm suggesting to you there's a reason. And you can drive yourself crazy trying to figure out the whys. It's like when a bad thing happens. Let me give you an example this way, and this is merely an illustration. When a person commits suicide, what invariably is the question? Why did they do it? Now turn off your phone. Why did they do it? Why they did it is because they made a bad decision. A lot of people lose their jobs and don't commit suicide. A lot of people lose their spouse. A lot of people have a bad day. A lot of bad things happen. And people don't jump out of windows because of it. The one that committed the suicide made an egregiously wrong decision. Bad information was in there, and they made bad decisions as a result. Sure. I'm going to suggest to you that is exactly what's going on when you've got people who ought to know better teaching Shem, Ham, and Japheth. They ought to know better. But apparently, they have not taken the doctrine that they have installed in their inner man and applied it to the issues that were there, no doubt, previously. So, when you try to evaluate it and you try to look at why, it's simply a matter of bad decision making. And what grace does, and what grace teaching does, is gives us all, does it not, an opportunity to reevaluate a tremendous number of things. Grace, mid-Acts Pauline dispensationalism, changes your view on the whole world around you. You don't see politics the same way. You don't see your government the same way. You don't see entertainment the same way. Everything looks different. Your Bible looks different when you learn how to rightly divide according to Mid-Acts Pauline dispensationalism. So everything needs to be rethought. Sometimes we get to things that maybe we'd rather not rethink. Things that are given in our life that we're not going to give those up. Well, that's a bad decision. And I'm going to add a word. That's a selfish decision.
Amen.
It's not about other people when you are categorizing them. When you are categorizing other people, that's about you.
That's right.
Because what you're doing is setting yourself in apposition to the other categories of people. I didn't say opposition. I said apposition. You are setting yourself distinct and apart from other categories of people. Distinct and apart. Isn't that kind of 1950s, separate but equal? Isn't that kind of the language of apartheid? Isn't that rather vestigial, going back to racial prophecy and Shem, Ham, and Japheth? I think I made my point and need to move on. In Luke chapter 10, in verse 25, a certain lawyer stood up and, talking to the Lord Jesus Christ, attempting to tempt him, said, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said unto him, "What is written in the law? What readest thou?" You and I would no more say what the Lord Jesus Christ said there, what is written in the law. If anybody asks you how to have eternal life and you say what's written in the law, I'm going to take my King James Bible, I'm going to roll it up, and I'm going to whack you alongside the head, because you got a whack coming. Meanwhile, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ said, is it not? And I wouldn't whack him in the head because he's not in my dispensation. He's operating with Israel under the law. So what Christ said in Luke 10:26 is entirely appropriate, but it would be desperately wrong for me to say. What I'm trying to do with that illustration there is, when you encounter people who have desperately wrong thinking about racial prophecy, then a good way to deal with it is to grace them out of it.
Amen.
And to teach them the right doctrine, that we're not under the law. It's not that God is respecting Israel over other people, and you're special because you're Israel, and they're not special because they're not Israel. It's none of that any longer. Grace trumps race and everything else. So, we see in Ephesians chapter 2, of course, a verse that we all learn early on, do we not? "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We are not in a works orientation as they were in Luke 10, verses 25 and 26. It's not about what's written in the law any longer, people. It's about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. The function of the law today is to demonstrate sin, to demonstrate it's a schoolmaster, and it brings us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus is teaching in Matthew chapter 10, and let me give you another illustration. He's teaching in Matthew chapter 10, and he says, "Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. For when they deliver you up, take no thought for how ye shall speak, for what shall be given unto you in the same hour what ye shall speak, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." Wow. The brother shall deliver up the brother to death. The father's going to deliver the child to death. The children rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. We live in the dispensation of the grace of God. We are not in a Matthew 10 setting. We are not in a setting where Israel stands against all comers. It's a battle, and it's a fight to the... We're not there. So, since we're not there, we leave the Shem, Ham, Japheth baggage back there. We don't bring it forward to a time when it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, it just won't pass muster. Note, in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, which leads up to one of the most quoted verses by heretics in all the Bible, in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and unto the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what must we do? Does not say, what must we do to be saved? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. People make this verse the verse for baptismal regeneration. I would respectfully point out to every Church of Christ elder, to every apostolic, that the issue now, Acts chapter 16, verse 30, is to be saved by faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed for our sins. It is not by works. Now again, we as grace believers, we know this. This is rather rudimentary. This is rather basic. What I'm trying to do is tweak our thinking so that we recognize that to have national, racial distinctions between peoples based on a performance program, based on skills and talents God would give one over the other, as the racial prophecy teacher teaches, is foreign to the dispensation of the grace of God. It is foreign to how things operate in this dispensation. Now, we are not trying to, God bless America, we are not trying to win America for Jesus. God is not in the nation-building business in this, the dispensation of the grace of God. And again, I need to emphasize, as Pastor Jordan teaches in his course, that the function of Shem, Ham, and Japheth being different colors was to go out and establish different nations. Of course, that doesn't even get past Genesis chapter 11 in the Tower of Babel, but picky, picky, picky. What Pastor Jordan teaches is it's all about nations having certain skills and talents, skill sets, mindsets, and that based on the color and their racial propensities and proclivities. Well, if you bought that, and I hope you don't, but if you bought that, it can't pass muster in this, the dispensation of the grace of God, because God no longer operates through nations. God operates through individual people who are members of the church, the body of Christ. Has God cast away His people? God forbid. Paul writes in Romans chapter 11, I also am an Israelite, the seed of Abraham, the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away His people for which He foreknew. Wot ye not that the scripture saith of Elias, he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Yes, God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Let's slow down here and think. The teaching of the racial prophecy program is Shem is the spiritual giant. And all, Pastor Jordan says something along the lines of, all the nations' religions come from Shem, and the goofy ones, they come from Japheth. Really? Hinduism, Buddhism, those aren't goofy. You've got young ladies in the Hindu faith marrying chickens, marrying snakes, marrying cows. Help me out on this. That's not goofy. So, if racial prophecy had a place, and it never did, but if somebody believes that it did, and they're not talked out of it yet, they're not convinced yet, they're not fully persuaded in their own mind just yet, think about this one. One of the racial prophecy people fell. Israel fell. So it would be obvious then that Shem is not doing his job any longer. Would it not be obvious? What would make us then jump to the conclusion that the white people, they're just exactly what God said they should be in Genesis chapter 9, verse 24, 25, and so are the black people? Well, that is how the Bible was used to defend racism. And the Biblical Defense of Racism, a book I'm reading right now, is something that starts with Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the idea that that carries forth to plantations and cotton pickers in Alabama in the 18th and 19th century is so wrong, it is so spurious, it is so silly. And yet, we have vestiges of it even now all over America in the minds of people. Now, here's something insidious about all of this. Because political correctness is actually a form of censorship, we're not talking about reality anymore. We don't talk about things as they are. So, actually, rather than fixing anything, everything now is festering. And I don't think it's going to be pretty when that scab breaks. It's an unfortunate situation that you've got race mongers out there, that you've got a latent thinking that white people are superior and black people are inferior and yellow people are rather spiritual, irrelevant, they just float around on magic carpets and things. It's sad that that is latent in so many people's minds, but it is. And we're wrong to let it be, particularly as members of the Church, the Body of Christ, because there's nobody who understands better the new creature than the people that are part of it.
Amen.
And you and I were part of that new creature. And the new creature, it's not about red, yellow, black, or white. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood. Now notice, we're now in Christ Jesus, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. We were sometime far off. He is our peace, who has made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Well, if racial prophecy is about the establishment of nations, and those nations differentiate by coloration, then that won't survive Ephesians chapter 2. It won't survive the church, the body of Christ, and the doctrine that Paul gives us. I don't buy for a minute the teachings of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. I don't buy them. You know that. We're 5 hours. This is the sixth hour dealing with this subject. I think by now you figure out what I believe about the verses and what I believe the verses actually teach, and that I think that I'm unequivocally correct that every mention of the word race in the Bible is about something you run. Yeah. And that you have a hard time pinning a color on anybody in the Bible from one end to the other. And the closest you'll get is dealing with the Lord in Song of Solomon chapter 5, and that's iffy. So, again, the concept that racial prophecy is something that somebody would carry forth into the 21st century is, to me, it's mind-boggling. But it would happen, I think, for someone who is open to that. For someone who wants to believe that they are, in some sense, superior to someone else. And whether or not they think they're necessarily superior, they don't like being around those other people. So I'm supposing that that's part of what's going on. Now, grace does not put us in a covenantal relationship with God. Think about that now. Because is not the racial prophecy of Noah about his boys in Canaan, is not that a works and performance oriented item? And is it not a covenantal declaration that it'll be good for Ham if he's a servant? Listen to me. It was taught from Puritan pulpits in the United States of America that for Ham to find God, he needed to be a servant because that was his place. It's an interesting thing that we read in our Declaration of Independence that all men are created equal. Two sentences prior to that, it speaks of one nation. That specific language, one nation, was intended to exclude all of the Native American, you know where they lived? In their own nations, the Sioux Nation, the Iroquois Nation, the Apache Nation. So the one nation in your Declaration of Independence was at the exclusion of all those Native American nations. And guess where the black people lived in Africa? In nations. And so there was the Aboriginal Nation, there were the different nations. The one nation is not intended to include them. Thomas Jefferson had written into the Declaration of Independence statements calling for the end of slavery. They were removed so that to get everybody on board, you couldn't take that strong stand against it. What I'm trying to teach you, what I'm trying to make known, to have you think about and Google some of this information and see it for yourself, is the church has been a leading protagonist, a catalyst in racial problems in this country.
Amen.
It came from pulpits.
Yeah.
It came from preachers. It came from pastors. It came from denominations. And for the church to not own up to it and to not deal with it and admit it is irresponsible. If you mess up, you need to fix it. So the reason there is a National Baptist Convention, that's black Baptist churches, is because the Southern Baptist Convention was lily white. Do you remember back in the 70s, the Southern Baptist Convention apologized for slavery? And people said, whatever for? The whatever for was, it was taught from their pulpits. And at least, they're Johnny-come-lately, but at least they did a little something. Now, it's a fascinating thing how when we get caught, we like to say, I'm sorry, and forget that there were any consequences. We yet instill in the United States of America, as Martin Luther King rightly pointed out, our most segregated Sunday mornings from 10 till 11, from 11 till noon. That is the most segregated activity in the United States of America. That's going to church. The fact is, even when we have these salt and pepper congregations, even when we have congregations where it legitimately doesn't matter, and the leadership, remember one thing about salt and pepper congregations, if the leadership's all salt or the leadership's all pepper, if the people who can sign contracts and sign checks are all salt or all pepper, you don't have salt and pepper. You see what I'm trying to say? There's window dressing and there's reality. The issue that the church, the body of Christ, has avoided dealing with is its culpability and responsibility. And even having apologized, or Pastor Jordan would never admit to being a racist, and I don't know that he is. I've never said that he is, and I won't say so now. He teaches Shem, Ham, and Japheth. That is racist dogma. And it gives leave to works orientation, national orientation, and racial orientation in the church, the body of Christ, and that simply doesn't belong. It's wrong to be there. We should not give any credibility to that kind of thinking, because where it goes is a very bad place. Shem, Ham, and Japheth is taught by the KKK. Shem, Ham, and Japheth is taught by Aryan nations. Shem, Ham, and Japheth was the teaching that, by the way, you do know that it is commonly thought that Adam, A-D-A-M, being a word that can be translated reddish or ruddy, that Adam and Eve were red people. and that God put a black one and a white one in Noah's red wife's womb. So you end up getting all three colors with the three boys. And then God curses one of them and exalts another one of them. You do know that that's where that comes from. The concept of all of this was taught in churches, and it was used to justify slavery. And how many people have been hurt? How many people died as a result of these kinds of things? Can we ever turn the page? Can we ever say, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for those things which are before, we press on for the high call, the mark of the high calling of God? Can we ever, by teaching Bible, undo the bad Bible teaching that promoted racism and promoted slavery? The answer is yes, and grace is the answer.
Amen.
So it is unconscionable that the great school of the Bible teaches Shem, Ham, and Japheth and racial prophecy. It is so wrong. It is mind-bendingly, mind-numbingly wrong that that would be there. It's just, it's over the rainbow with Dorothy and Toto. No possible way can someone, out of one side of his mouth, say we're all members one of another, and out of the other side of his mouth say, well, I wish the black people would get their own church in the south side of Chicago because they'll be happier there. How does that happen? That is a man who is double-minded, which means, according to James' definition of it, he's unstable in all his ways. When you see that, mark it and know what it is. Because if you don't, it'll come back to haunt you. Now, grace does not teach a works, a national, a racial, or a covenant relationship with God. When you take all those things away from the teachings of racial prophecy, they don't have anything left. So, if you are a pastor and have a church full of racists, I wouldn't teach on racism. I teach grace. And the day will come when right doctrine will push out the old. If all you do is attack somebody's wrong doctrine, you set up an adversarial relationship, and the next thing you know, you're fighting. Rather than that, teach what's right and cause that to force out the wrong doctrine. If the wrong doctrine refuses to leave and the person stands pat, that black people have limits and white people get to run them and yellow people, they're irrelevant, they're spiritual, floating around on a flying carpet. If that continues, then you're going to have to come to a point where you sit that person down individually and deal with it. And if they're not willing to accept that all of us are members one of another and all of us are complete in Christ, we're all different parts of the same body, that's a problem. It needs to be appropriately dealt with by the leadership in an assembly. Now, for you and me, we can make our own interpersonal relationships. We can make our own friends and do what we choose to do. If you line up your acquaintances based on, well, that's a Korean person over there, she's more spiritual, and that's a black person over there, they're more physical and not as very smart, and oh, there's a white person over there, I better give, say the best for them. And if that's your thinking, know where it came from, identify it, and then leave it at Calvary's cross.
Amen.
Nail it there. It's baggage that was never right in the first place. It has a residue all this time later. It has a residue. The Civil War was nearly 160 years ago. And the residue of separation and segregation, why, there are people who claim that one of the motivating factors for undermining Obama's plan, President Obama's plan, I don't mean to be disrespectful, President Obama's plan for health care is that they don't like what color the guy is. I can dislike his health care plan, and I don't care who put it forth, whether it be Nancy Pelosi or Harry Reid or President Obama or who. When you start making doctrinal issues personal, you're always going to be wrong.
Amen.
When Shem, Ham, and Japheth, racial prophecy, are brought into the dispensation of the grace of God, That's about the person's person, and not about the doctrines of the grace of God, not about the doctrines according to the revelation of the mystery. So, grace is the answer to the problems associated with race. And no one should be better equipped to deal with it than a mid-Acts Pauline dispensational right divider, and frankly, saved people, I believe, have something of an obligation to deal with it.
Amen.
I wrote newspaper columns, I wrote a series of newspaper columns more than 12 years ago on this subject. And people got mad at me then, and people get mad at me now, and frankly, I think that's a good thing. Because when you get mad at me for teaching that racial prophecy is wrong and Shem, Ham, Japheth is wrong and don't be putting people in their little boxes, when you get mad at me, you've done two things. You verified for me that I did the right thing to teach it, and you've demonstrated for me where the problems are, and you'd be one of them. So I don't have any problem with that. I've got big shoulders, and I've had a lot of things thrown at me with more accuracy than you've got. So I'm not worried about it. The point is that we are doing ourselves tremendous harm as a nation. This country of ours is messed up largely along racial lines, if you notice. And we've got serious, serious political and social and moral issues in this country that are exacerbated by a racial issue that shouldn't even be there. And the Church, the body of Christ, has culpability. It has a level of responsibility. We were in on, we, not you and me, but 200 years ago, we were, pulpits were in on putting this in place. So, having said that, I'm going to leave it at that and recognize that if someone's racial teachings survive their grace teachings, I believe you have a heart issue.
Amen.
I believe you have someone who's got that wicked, selfish, I want to be better, I want to be different in them. And salvation should have dealt with that. Since it hasn't, and you try to deal with right teaching, if that doesn't work, frankly, I'd pick better friends.